From the campus of Winston-Salem State University, welcome to WSSU Future Focus. Everything Winston-Salem State University. And now your host, WSSU Chancellor Elwood Robinson.
Welcome everyone, and we're back and better than ever. My guest tonight, Stedman Graham, is Chairman and CEO of S. Graham & Associates, a management and marketing consulting firm. He's the author of 12 books, including two New York Times bestsellers and one Wall Street Journal bestseller. As a businessman, educator, and speaker, he lectures and conducts training programs for corporations and educational organizations worldwide on the topic of identity leadership based on the philosophy that one cannot lead anyone else until you first lead yourself. He's delivered identity leadership programs in the Netherlands, Germany, China, Canada, the UK, Bermuda, and South Africa. His proven nine-step success process drives his powerful message. This success process is based on the principle that it doesn't matter how the world defines you. It only matters how you define yourself. He is honored as a distinguished visiting professor in universities throughout this country. He's a former adjunct professor at the Northwestern Kellogg School of Business, where he taught the course, The Dynamics of Leadership. His clients include Gulfstream, Aerospace, Microsoft, Wells Fargo, General Dynamics, and U.S. Department of Labor and Education. As a proud native of Whitesboro, New Jersey, he has demonstrated an enduring dedication to youth and community. His New York Times bestseller, Teens Can Make It Happen, has become a program utilized in numerous middle school and high schools in the United States and abroad. With dedication to community development, he is the founder of the Concerned Citizens of Whitesboro and the Concerned Citizens of Lake Waccamaw, North Carolina. He is a co-founder of the Community Alliance for Youth Success and a member of Horatio Alger. Stedman Graham has served in the United States Army, played professional basketball in the European League. He holds a bachelor's degree in social work from Hardin-Simmons University and a master's degree in education from Ball State University, and has been awarded 3 honorary doctorates. He serves on several boards and received numerous awards. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone, welcome to Future Focus Now, Stedman Graham.
Glad to be here, Chancellor Robinson. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it very much.
We are glad that you are here. Everybody in the studio, we're back in the studio. We've been away for about 2 months, and now we're back. This is our first edition of the new year. You are our first guest on Future Focus. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you. So glad to be connected to North Carolina, Winston-Salem State University. And used to work for Bob Brown there in High Point. A number of years, and so I miss North Carolina. My family's from Lake Waccamaw, down where you are from, you know, in that area, and so we know a lot of folks in North Carolina.
We do, and look, you and I just met, I think, back during the summer. We met for the first time. We really hit it off because we had so much in common, and I said, I have to get you on the show. So much to talk about. We got time to get through it all. It's going to be a fun evening. I want everybody to sit back and relax as we have a great conversation with Stedman Graham. Stedman, we can't start the conversation without me asking you, how you doing? Just how you doing and how you coping in this COVID-19 world?
You know what? It's been a blessing for me, not necessarily COVID, but the ability to work and focus on using technology as a foundation for delivering content. I mean, I have a number of books, so for me to be able to learn this technology and this STEM area, to me, is like, that's a blessing, because that's how we're going to communicate, you know, in the future. And you have to, again, know who you are, know where you're going, and know how you're going to get there.
But you're safe, you're healthy, everyone's safe, everyone's healthy.
Everybody's safe, everybody's healthy, family's healthy, Oprah's healthy, everybody's good. So we're all, you know, hunkered down and trying to stay safe. Wear your mask, everybody. And, you know, don't be, you know, breathing in people's face, you know, that kind of thing.
Fantastic. Right during the pandemic, you know, we saw you were in quarantine. We saw that all over the news media. I said, there's Stedman Graham. He's quarantining.
Yeah. Are you kidding? Please. This is like a fortress. You know, please. But you know, you gotta have the right attitude, and you gotta be positive. And we've gone through a lot in our country here the last, you know, several years and all, and this pandemic and climate change and economic conditions and everything else. So, you know, resilience and being able to adapt to the current circumstances, that's a strength. It's also a skill.
Yeah. And so one of the things we're going to get in a little bit later in terms of your identity leadership, I know, you know, I want to take a couple of those stages and go through them. We'll get into that in just a minute. Lake Waccamaw. Tell the audience about Lake Waccamaw, because I know you asked me, we were chatting before the show started, and I was telling you that I was from Ivanhoe, North Carolina, a little small town. But tell the folks about Lake Waccamaw.
Well, Lake Waccamaw is around a big lake, for one, with some little few alligators in there and catfish and all of that. And my family's from there. And we are a little small town, farming community, you know, and people are independent, and they have their land and cows, and they raise crops. And I was just so fortunate to be able to be from North Carolina, where it's just a beautiful state. And I come from a large family, Spalding descendants, Moores, Grahams, all of that. So we're, again, big families, country, you know, and lots of good eating.
Yes.
And you know, homemade everything.
That sounds exactly how I grew up in Ivanhoe, North Carolina. My wife is from Turkey, North Carolina as well. So we're all small town folks. We understand exactly what you're talking about. Stedman, so many of the students that come to Winston-Salem State University come from small areas just like that. And they're coming to Winston-Salem State to really change the trajectory of their lives. Many of them come from under-resourced families. We know that part of the state and that part of the United States. Talk a little bit about what it was like for you growing up, and what are some of the lessons that you have learned that allowed you to ascend to where you are today?
Well, I grew up in a town. My family moved from North Carolina to a place called Whitesboro, which is founded by George H. White, former congressman during Reconstruction, which was a part of our family, and started this town called Whitesboro, New Jersey, brought our relatives there to settle down. Grew up in an all-black town surrounded by a white county where they said nothing ever comes out of Whitesboro. And so the ability to be able to self-actualize out of this little small town and create my own life has been a journey. It's a tough thing back then, because it was pretty oppressive in terms of discrimination and, you know, segregation. I grew up in the segregation areas. And so we were fortunate to have our own black teachers and our school, and where we could, you know, didn't have to worry about folks looking down on us and all of that. And we were always told you had to be twice as good. And you had to read well, and if you weren't doing well in school, they would knock on your door at home and come by and say, you know, your son's not doing well. He needs some extra help in this, and we're going to give him some help. And so we grew up with very capable people in the small town that I grew up with. And I grew up in the family, I had two special need brothers in my family, which was a tough thing for me to deal with. I grew up with kind of low self-esteem, a lack of confidence. The thing that helped me more than anything it's basketball. Basketball kind of was kind of my way out. It allowed me to perform at a higher level, you know, in terms of high self-esteem. And I was a pretty good ball player, so it gave me a lot of confidence. And so it got me a scholarship out of Whitesboro, and I was able to go to Hardin-Simmons, graduate from there. I was able to go to graduate school after that, play ball in European Pro League, served in U.S. Army a number of years, worked in the prison system 5 years. You may not know that. And then started writing books and discovered identity as the foundation for something that I was been looking for all of my life. Most people know my life partner is Oprah, and a lot of times I was defined by my relationship, labeled by that. So the search wasn't for freedom on the outside. The search was for freedom on the inside. And when I discovered, though, there's a process for success, I started writing about that. And so that's kind of been my journey. And it's brought me thus far to where I teach identity leadership. And I teach people how to find out who they are, how to organize information around themselves, how to empower themselves, how to eliminate labels. And, you know, my focus is on self-development and teaching people how to work on self based on all of those experiences I've just talked about.
That's fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. It's a very, very powerful. You talked about basketball. I would ask you to expound on that just a little bit. We have so many athletes, you know, students today who want to be professional players. You got a chance to play professionally in Europe. And talk about that. And what do you say to young African-American men today who want to spend a career in basketball?
Well, you know, you never spend a whole career in almost anything.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing for me, Chancellor, is that I was able to learn how to think. Mm. And I didn't know how to do that. I wasn't a thinking human being for the most part. You know, I grew up as a basketball player, not really thinking very much. I mean, if I could have understood the value of thinking and organizing and being more independent as opposed to dealing with trauma issues and self-esteem issues and social issues that I had to deal with based on how I grew up, I would have been able to focus on the process of how you become successful, really successful in basketball. And so what I did learn is that, all of the skills that I've developed as a ball player were excellent skills. You know, showing up on time, working hard, running beyond what you think is your capabilities, working out, being consistent, all of those things that now I've transferred those things to the business world. So, you know, my message is to the ball players, man, you know, you're incredible human beings. You're incredible athletes because you've been training all of your life. Mm-hmm. So to be able to take those training regimens and the goal setting regimens and all of those leadership abilities that you learn and those skills that you learn while being an athlete, if you could take those same skills and learn capitalism and learn how the American free enterprise system works and learn how business works. And I know you have a strong vision toward getting students to be more entrepreneurial and all of that. But if you could transfer those leadership skills into skills that will allow you to raise and create social economic development and independence in your own life based on who you are as a human being, based on your identity, based on your passion, based on your purpose, based on your talents, based on your skills, and you understand what I understood later on in life is that you have to be a learner.
Right.
And you have to be a reader. And you have to be a developer of your own potential. You have to self-actualize who you are, especially today in the 21st century where technology is available to us. And we have to be able to utilize technology as a way to determine our own value, as opposed to just going to school and learning how to memorize and take tests, repeat the information back, get labeled with a grade, 2 weeks later you forget the information. Or you're stuck in a fixed mindset of doing the same thing over and over every single day. You're not going anywhere because you're not growing. You're not developing. You're not building. and you just pretty much have a worker attitude, and you really don't have a ownership attitude, which to me, if you've gone through the Black experience, our opportunity is to be an owner, not to be so much of a, to have a slave mentality of waiting for somebody else to tell you what to do, but to be able to enjoy the American free enterprise system and enjoy being in the greatest country in the world, which, you know, we got all of these systems that work, and we have universities like Winston-Salem State University to go into these schools and extract that knowledge and information and apply it to who we are. And then to take technology and the devices we have and use those devices to be able to communicate to people all over the world to create, you know, economic equality. I would think if we have the opportunity to do that, and we have people like yourself who are leaders who support us and who look at particularly African-American students and don't look at them with disdain sometimes, but look at them with, you know, a belief that they can do anything they want to do if they understand the process of success.
Right.
And that is the advantage of going to a school like Winston State University, where you don't have to feel like you're a second-class citizen, where you have access to information, where you have people pushing you, where you have people saying, oh, you can do it, where you have in the encouragement of other students. So learning all of that allows me to be able to now look at the global marketplace and see opportunity based on, again, this new technological revolution that now we're facing to create equality in ourselves. But it starts with us.
Yep.
I'm sorry that took so long to answer, but.
I'm not sorry, because that was one of the greatest commercials for Winston-Salem State I've seen in a long time. Look, we're going to cut and splice this, and we're going to create a commercial around this. That was wonderful. I appreciate that. And so one of the things that we're talking about here, and that is, you and I have had a conversation earlier about closing the wealth gap in this country, and which is really tremendous. And that is kind of what got me thinking about what's next for Winston-Salem State. How do we close that wealth gap? I've been researching this, and I found out that the wealth gap between Black and brown folks today in this country is wider today than it was in 1968. And that's hard to believe, which means that we have to do more work. We have to do work around closing the wealth gap. But Stedman, we also have to do work around getting people to think about wealth differently. Why is it that so many folks think that wealth is a dirty word? Wealth is not a dirty word. I don't think it is, do you?
Well, it really, it's not even a wealth gap. It's a thinking gap. It's the way that you think. And so wealth can only be created by changing your thinking. And there's a process for that. And so changing your thinking around what you should be doing, changing your thinking around what makes you happy, change your thinking around what's possible for you based on a capitalistic system living in the greatest country in the world and now having access to technology where you can communicate with people all over the world. Changing your thinking to where you think you actually can do it.
Yeah.
And changing your thinking around, you know, the trauma and the pain and the labeling and you've been told you can't make it because of the color of your skin and getting past that and changing your thinking around, you know, basically transforming your energy from negative to positive. So, you know, my challenge as a person is transformation of energy. Is I grew up with looking at the glass half empty as opposed to half full. I grew up with the foundation of my feelings being negative. The transformation for me is to be able to transform from a negative attitude to a positive attitude, from hate to love, you know, from fear to courage. That's the transformation I have to make. Once I make that transformation, I now need the information around how do you actually build wealth. What does that look like? You know, how do you build a business? How do you create opportunity in terms of scalability for a product or service? What are you actually selling? Okay. What can you create? What can you manufacture? What can you actually produce? Are you going to be a producer? Or are you going to be a consumer? What holds you back? What are you listening to? What are you reading? What kind of people are you hanging around? Okay. What kind of environment are you in? You know, are you able to travel and create new experiences? Einstein said you cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that caused it. So you got to be able to read your way out of it. How many books do you read? You know, if you're not reading 5 books a week, you're not doing anything. So your ability to be able to take all of that information and apply that information to who you are as a person, to develop skill sets and to be an expert in your field, to be an authority in your field is what the 21st century is asking you to do. You've got to be a self-directed learner. School is great, but school has to be just a foundational piece. You have to be self-directed in terms of getting supplemental information and content that's relevant to your development. So it's all about the content. And in today's market, content is king. It's everything. But if you have the wrong information, if you have dumbed down information, if it's politically set up and designed for you to stay not smart, then you're not going to be competitive in the marketplace because you got 3 levels. You got a fail level, which is basically people who will never access most things because they may not be able to read. They may not have even the basic skills to even get to the second level, which is the average level. That's just average. That's just getting a degree and graduating and trying to get a job. That's average, okay? That's 3 meals a day. That's okay. That's what 99% of the people do. All right, that's okay. I'm talking about an advanced level.
Yeah.
If you get the advanced information where you say, you know, I want to own myself. What do you mean? You want to own yourself? You want to create your own voice? You want to schedule your own time? You want to be able to speak up and you want to create unlimited wealth and opportunities? You want to be able to dream a dream and make that dream happen? You want to be able to design your own future? You want to take charge of the 24 hours that you have every single day, which is what makes everyone equal. Everybody has 24 hours. You want to make decisions about your time.
Okay. Who would have thought of that, right?
Changing time for money. Right. You know, you're actually using your brain to think. You're not worried about your race. You're not worried about your color. You're not worried about your background. You're not worried about where you came from because you are a producer. That's the advanced level. Right. You can think for yourself. And you're working all the time and you have the will to prepare. Success is when preparation meets opportunity. And you're always preparing and working on yourself to be the best person you can be. You get to work on yourself. That's a luxury. That's the level.
I love that. And I hear you talking about being a lifelong learner. And I think what's really exciting for me is to have this conversation with you. And you talk about, I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still reading, you know, at a very high level. You mentioned something, and I sent this to my executive staff about 2 weeks ago. There was an article that came out in Forbes that said probably the number one problem that we have in this country that's costing this country $2.2 trillion a year as adults, 17 to 72, who read at a sixth grade level, that 54% of adults in this country read at a sixth grade level, that is costing us $2.2 trillion in lost asset. And so as I listen to you talk about, you know, that it's just a beginning when you're in school. That's just a beginning when you're in college, that you're a lifelong learner, changing and learning every single day. That's what I hear you saying.
Well, the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. It also says the people perish because of the lack of knowledge. All I have to do is keep you, I don't want to say stupid or dumb or whatever. I just have to keep you uninformed. You know, just make sure that you don't have the information to create your own. You know, all I have to do is just to try to keep you poor. Where you have no access to information, education, you don't know how to take information and make it relevant to your heart, to your soul, to your purpose in life, transfer it to your mind so you become a thinking human being, and then transfer that to the American free enterprise system or now the global marketplace to create and design your own future. All I have to do is keep you thinking about race, keep you thinking about what you can't do, get you mad, get you angry, you know, so you can get upset, you know, and not be able to think, because you can't be upset and think at the same time. Okay. So right. I'm going to keep you mad and angry and hungry. Okay. Right. I'm not going to let you enjoy the American free enterprise system and now the global market, because you can't get past yourself. You're so busy beating up yourself, killing your own people, destroying your own image, everything else, that you don't even know who you are. That's the problem. You have no identity. You don't know who you are. You don't know where you're going. And you don't even know that we live in America, the greatest country in the world. And you have the ability to walk into Winston State. I'm going to give you another plug here. All walk right. into Winston State Salem University and take all of that information that you have and work in that environment where you don't have to worry about people coming up and telling you what you can't do. And you got people encouraging you every single day. And you're not using that information as a way to apply it to your own development. And so that you can break the cycle. Your mother and father might not have gone to college. They may not have the opportunity, but you have the opportunity to go to college and to go to a Winston-Salem State University, where you have a chancellor that's focusing on wealth building, that's focusing on entrepreneurship, that's focusing on business, that people smile at, that people are happy to know and proud to know. That's a blessing. Come on.
No, that's a blessing. Now, you know, I appreciate that. I'm reading here in your bio that I have, and you said success is based on the principle that it doesn't matter how the world defines you. It only matters how you define yourself. And this is a great principle. I love this principle because I had a mentor when I was growing up, when I was in college and I was in graduate school. And he always told me that whoever defines you owns you. So don't let anyone define you. No, you're going to define yourself. And that, but there's a process to getting to this definition statement, I'm assuming.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's what I teach. I teach, first of all, when you don't know who you are, the world defines you by your house, your car, your money, your religion, tells you can't make it because of the color of your skin, tells you can't make it because, tells women they can't make it because it's a man's world. So you're labeled when you don't know who you are. And so what you can't do is give your power over to the outside world or give your power over to somebody who will define you, and they will always define you as less than them. So you got to be able to take your power back. There's a process for that. The first step is you got to know who you are. And that's based on the most powerful word in the world, which is love. Love is really the answer. And you want to make love into a practical process. That means you want to organize everything you love in your life, write it down, imagine what you can create based on what you love. So I love basketball. I love family. I love relationship. I love the work that I do today. I love writing books. I love teaching. I love all of those things. I love Mexican food. I love barbecue. So I want to create, I want to self-actualize all those things that make me happy, but I have to be conscious of that. So I want to create that, organize that, design that. I got 24 hours. I'm going to organize the 24 hours I have every single day around everything that I love. I'm going to change my energy around because it's going to make me happy, because I'm focusing on looking at the glass half full as opposed to half empty. The second step you got to have is you got to have a vision of what you could be. So vision allows you to see beyond your current circumstances. Poverty is about not having a vision. It's doing the same thing over and over every single day. You wake up in the morning, you wash your face, you brush your teeth, you get something to eat, you get the kids off to school, work all day, come home in the afternoon, spend time with the family, you watch TV, you go to bed, maybe you dream next Monday. And you have no vision beyond your circumstances, so you can't see a better life for yourself. The third step is you have to have a plan. So you got to be able to write it down, organize it, right? You know, because you have 50,000 thoughts going through your mind every single day. You got to be focused. Whatever you focus on expands. The fourth step is you have to create a value system around your vision. Who you want to be, who you want to become, what kind of character do you have? Trust, how big is trust? You got to work on those things that allow you to create a strong value system that you can go back to, the principles that you can go back to that are consistent in your development every single day. You got to overcome your fears. You got to be able to figure out what are the obstacles, what are the barriers to success, what holds you back. You know, you got to be able to write down all the things that are keeping you from self-actualizing your potential. And you got to work on those weaknesses, and you got to make those weaknesses your strengths. You got to be able to build a team. No one makes it alone. No man or woman is an island unto themselves. You cannot build a team by yourself. You need your dream team. You need to have a team that's relevant to your development and to support you. You got to be able to create information. You know, you got to be able to win by decision, which is what helped me, is to be able to organize information around myself. And when I learned how to take information and apply it to who I was as a person, and make that relevant to my skill sets, to my talents, and to my abilities, so I could grow, I can move out of this fixed mindset to a growth mindset, my whole life changed, because I could be better today than I was yesterday, based on a process of continuous improvement. You got to be able to commit to a lifestyle that you can be consistent on. So it's taking what I just talked about, vision, it's taking identity, it's taking planning, it's taking organizing, goal setting, all of those things that you need to learn in order to be able to self-actualize your own potential, so that you can transform your life, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of where you came from, regardless of your background. You have the opportunity today, even more than any other time in the history of the world, to create equality, because we have all of the tools available to us. What we have to do, and the last part of this, is to do one thing. We got to work on ourselves every day.
Every day. Every day you got to do that. I agree with that. Steph, I'm interested in, because I've seen you, and you work with a lot of CEOs and a lot of business leaders. You also work with a lot of wealthy people, and you have conversations with them about the work that they're doing. You also are very community oriented. You want to make sure that you give back to the community. So you have organizations that you founded in Lake Waccamaw, organizations that you founded in these communities. Tell me a little bit about the kind of conversations you have with the CEOs of the world, and the kind of conversations you have when you're in, say, Lake Waccamaw, with the community folks down there. I'm curious as to whether those conversations are different.
Well, they are different. A lot of times, CEOs, they have a lot of power. They have organizations. They have a lot of reach. They may not be growing and expanding based on a bigger vision. They may be just making money. When you have an organization, you're a big organization and a big company, and you're a big CEO and you have charge of that, your vision has to be huge. It has to be global. And there's a lot of companies that are going out of business today because they have no vision. And the good book says, where you have no vision, the people perish. So the leader, if the leader doesn't have a vision, if the leader doesn't know where they're going, if the leader doesn't have alignment for the company or the organization, you're not leveraging. The key word is leveraging. Are you leveraging your opportunities? Are you leveraging the resources? Are you leveraging your knowledge? Are you leveraging your intellect, you know, in the company and the organization? When you go to a place like Lake Waccamaw, it's community-based. It's still a leadership issue. Mm-hmm. It might be family leadership. It might be church leadership. It might be organizational leadership, social service leadership, but it's still a leadership issue. And so the message there is, are you preparing your young people for the future? Mm-hmm. Because if you don't prepare your young people for the future, which is really happening right now, especially a lot of times in our community, I mean, I spent a lot of time in Chicago. We have a lot of problems in Chicago because we're not preparing our young people for the future. So we end up having to deal with, you know, violence, and deal with young people not going to college and not making the transition and not being able to leave the community because they don't have the educational skills, or they drop out. And so they turn into a gangland culture. And the gangland culture, basically, people are just trying to survive and trying to make it every single day. So you end up destroying your community because you don't focus on the youth of the community as a way to prepare them for the future. And you end up having to pay for them. You end up that will end up costing us, you know, a great deal of money, because we don't have a we don't have a legacy. We're not building a legacy based on our young people. And it's why we should be supporting HBCUs and especially Winston State State University, because they focus on young people as a way to get them to self-actualize their potential so they become contributing members of our society, and that they can begin to break the cycle and create opportunity that will make us a stronger, in, you know, Winston-Salem city, state, North Carolina, and now a country, and now a global marketplace. We have the opportunity. We really do. We have the opportunity. We could not have a better opportunity than today to be in the 21st century because, again, we have so many opportunities around the information that's available to us through technology. Mm-hmm. We got to be able to utilize that as a way to empower ourselves so we can become more servant leaders, so we can serve the world. And so it's what you do every single day. You're serving the community. You're empowering people. You're getting people to understand how to take information and education and make it relevant. And so that's our responsibility. That's a long answer. I'm sorry it took so long to say that. But
no, so look, it's always great. A couple of other areas I want to get to before we run out of time. So one of the things I hear you talking about is whether you're talking about an institution, a university or high school or wherever, is that they can't do this alone, that learning takes place, but learning takes place everywhere. So one of the things that I've been thinking about and pushing at Winston-Salem State is that we have to have partners to be able to help us deliver the kind of education that students need for the 21st century, for 2020 and beyond. As you look around the landscape, you talked about technology, if you looked around the landscape, what kind of partners would you think that an institution, say like a Winston-Salem State, should be getting involved with?
Well, I think if you look at, if you begin to segment the partners, Chancellor Robinson, you're looking at segmentation as a way to excel today. Segmentation is organizing notables, organizing companies, organizing social service agencies, organizing people, organizing youth groups, organizing community. And then creating a model around community development, community organizing, so that you have resources available to you. And then leveraging that into the next community, into the next community. And then maybe leverage that into a statewide initiative. And create networks around educational institutions and organizations that can be helpful. Be able to create global networks that would be helpful. Global resources, foundations, community trust organizations that focus on education. Creating new ideas and innovation as a way to organize segments that support that those new ideas and innovations. STEM is a great market to focus around because STEM allows you to go in a lot of directions in terms of science, technology, education, and math, and organize those segments. So it's an organizational process of finding what's relevant to each segment based on the university's needs. And when you do that, you're able to pull the best of the best so that you really have the intellect and the opportunity to create a strong mousetrap and a strong model that now through technology is scalable in the marketplace because you can reach anybody you want today. You're a Winston-Salem State University or HBCU, doesn't mean that you have to operate at a local level. It means that you have access to a global market looking for commonalities and looking for people who have the same vision in every segment. So all of the pieces of the puzzle will paint the picture, which will be a great university based on resources, based on opportunity, and also based on bringing everything back to you okay, as the core foundation for organizing all these resources and all of these opportunities that you can begin to organize at a global level that will allow you to empower yourself as an organization. And then you put that back out. So it comes in first to the organization, and then you put it back out in terms of service.
Great. So one of the things that stayed with me in the first conversation that you and I had, and I was talking about, you know, my vision for Winston-Salem State University to have, you know, every student that comes here to start their own business. You know, I got this real, you've heard me, I made the presentation to you, you know, a couple months ago. When we think about that, one of the things that you said to me is think internationally. And you said we can take this to Africa. What are we missing, and why is it important for to have an international aspect of what you do today?
Well, it's important because you're dealing with a distribution network that's already in place. You can reach anybody in the world. And the way you do that is through information and knowledge. And so the ability to communicate to people anywhere in the world, right, in terms of first, how do we help the world? That's a visionary a statement. You know, how do we actually serve the world based on what we do? And really, what we should be saying as a university, all of us, you know, we should be saying, how do we actually educate the world based on leveraging our resources and organizing our content so we can disseminate our content any place in the world, anytime, to people who need it? And it's called, right now, it's called online training. Online training, online development, right? And being able to, again, focus on those underdeveloped areas, which is where the opportunities are going to be. You talk about closing the wealth gap. We're only going to close the wealth gap when we build from the bottom. We're only going to close the wealth gap when we go into these communities and figure out what are we going to do with the homeless people that don't have the opportunity. Because what they're missing, they're not missing necessarily... you know, they may have some issues and everything else, but they're missing an educational foundation that allows them to think and create for themselves. And we've neglected our communities, which is why the 1% we run around thinking we're all of that. And yeah, what we haven't done is we haven't gone back to help the least of those in need. And that's our problem.
Yep.
So we're always focused on the bling bling, yep, and always focused on the external stuff. And what happens is the foundation of our existence is being destroyed because we're not building from the ground up. And we're not helping people who are less fortunate. And we're not focused on education as a means to empower people so that they can be, you know, have just self-determination so they can break the cycles, you know, among their families and be able to be a contributing member to our communities and to our society. We're not doing that. And that's why we have this wealth gap.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point. And so one of the things that we talk about at WSSU in terms of the students that we serve is that, we know, we have students that come from under-resourced families, first-generation students, which is really sometimes mind-boggling when you think about it. Almost 50% of our students at WSSU are first-generation, but they're sharp and they're bright, and they just, only thing they're missing is an opportunity. So what we want to do is to be able to give them an opportunity that otherwise they wouldn't have gotten anywhere else. So back to your point about being able to take those who are less fortunate and elevate that, what is missing that folks forget, and they really forget this, is that when you help the less fortunate, when you help those who are at the bottom, all of us win. All of us win because we create a more robust economy. We create a more robust opportunities for students to get in spaces of creativity and innovation. I mean, no one is as innovative as people who have to struggle every day. They learn these life lessons. That's why I asked you at the beginning about your experience in growing up in Eastern North Carolina. Those values in Eastern North Carolina and rural America are values that we can take and we can leverage and we can create, you know, put individuals in a position to be successful.
Well, that's why education is freedom. And so we understand it's about the information. And if I keep you from having the right information, you cannot take care of yourself. Okay, it's not going to happen. So our ability to be able to disseminate, I'm calling on all the educational institutions around the world and around the country to be able to focus on community development, okay, as a way to create a grassroots model to train people at the lowest possible level, right, and give them the information that allows them to feel good about themselves and also give them the information like you're doing to create social economic development. What does that look like? In a lot of cases, the information is dumbed down. So it's not even relevant. It's done, sometimes it's designed on purpose, you know, and you don't have the education and the information or the right information that allows you to become even relevant to the 21st century today, which is what I think that our educational system has to look at. How do we become, the question is, how do we become relevant to the 21st century? Are we preparing young people for success? Are we giving them the right skills? Do they have the right career paths? That's why I love STEM so much, because it allows us to now educate people about using technology as a way to, even if they don't go to school, they can, you know, take YouTube and take all the information through technology, which is free as long as you have an iPhone, as long as you have a mobile phone, to be able to download content so you become a self-directed learner so you can educate yourself on top of the educational system in place, okay? So you can begin to co-create with the existing world that you live in, right, as a way to empower yourself through knowledge and information and using technology as a foundation for that so you can communicate to people anywhere in the world to create your own opportunities through products and services and wealth building. And you have the opportunity. Now you have to have the consciousness for that.
Sure.
We gotta wake you up so you understand where you are.
Right.
You're in America. People are breaking their backs trying to get here. They're risking their lives trying to get to this country. There's a reason for that. Because the systems work. And if we can work together and align all of these things together around an educational focus, we're gonna have a stronger country.
Stedman, you seem to be an individual that has a high degree of optimism, like you're really optimistic. When you look into the Stedman Graham crystal ball, what does the future look like for you? Not necessarily for you personally, but what do you see this happening, you know, in the world futuristically?
Well, I have to tell you, I just am in love with this technology. I mean, it's forced us all to do this Zoom. Look at us right here.
That's right.
You know, we're making things happen. We're talking, you know.
Where are you?
We're talking, I'm going to tell you where I am. We're talking, we're making stuff happen. I mean, you can do this all over the world.
Okay.
You can communicate people and share ideas. And it is just one of the greatest, things that has ever happened to me. Because I've got 12 books. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of information. And I'm training people and speaking and talking to people all over the world based on my content, and I don't have to get on a plane. You know, I don't have to travel anywhere.
Yeah.
And so to be able to share information and knowledge, and again, being able to figure out where you're going and how you're going to get there, and having the distribution network, you know, where you can create your own product and then work with Amazon and work with other organizations and all of these internet platforms that are created and these apps, you got to learn that business. Okay. I'm not necessarily all there, but there's a lot of students who understand it.
Right.
And I would say this, all of the students have it. They have the ability to understand that the process of success is the same for everybody, which is what I understand. That nobody's any better than anybody else. The difference is some people know it, some people don't. And you got all these students are far brighter than we were when we were growing up. You know, they're smart, they're quick, they have everything going for them. And so you got to be able now to find out who you are, learn how to organize information and make it relevant to your development, work on yourself every single day so you can be the best person you could possibly be, and then share your talents and your skills and who you are with the world.
Yeah, great, fantastic. So one of the things that I think about every day, and that is how do I make sure that I'm preparing students for the future, and a future that doesn't even exist. You've given me something really to think about, and that is have conversations with the students in terms of where they are. Because one of the things that I know, that students that come to Winston-Salem State and also universities all across this country, particularly, you know, this generation of 18-year-olds who come to college, they have an entrepreneurial spirit and a mindset. They believe that they're going to develop their own companies. In fact, 50% of students say they're going to do that. And I want to make that happen. You know, I've got this grandiose big dream. I want every student that comes to Winston-Salem State University, by the time they graduate, to have started their own business. And you're going to help me with this. You're going to come down.
Well, it's not even a dream anymore. It's a necessity.
Yep.
Because if you don't do it, you got 7.2 billion people in the world. 99% of those people are going to be out because you're not going to be able to make the transition. And the transition has to start with, you got to be able to find your purpose in life. You got to be able to build around that. You got to find out what you love, your passion in life. You got to be able to organize that. And then co-create with you and co-create with Winston-Salem State as a way to say, okay, how do we work this together? And then build a dream team around the students and let them come together to build a mousetrap. You already have the labor force.
Yeah.
You have the operation. You have the geniuses. You know, you've got everything that you need right there. You're a working organization that works every single day in this line. You couldn't have a greater opportunity than to solve world problems, than to be able to do it at Winston-Salem State. And you're the kind of leader that actually wants to do it. You want to do it. You're not trying to hold anybody back. And this is not a race issue. This is not an issue of who knows and who doesn't know. Yes, it may be. This is an issue of do what you do. And do it the well, and you be the leader of the world based on, you know, education and based on disseminating information and content. And you have the ability to do that because we have access to technology that can deliver your messages and your content to anybody in the world.
Man, that's great. Stephen, you got me excited. I mean, I don't know if I'll be able to go to sleep. I need to get back to work. I'm going to let you out of here. We're up against the hour, and you've been so generous with your time. It's been a great, great conversation. I was reading your identity leadership in terms of that. I want you to take us out on step into the outer limits.
Well, step into the outer limits, overcoming your fears. And it's an interesting thing about fear. That's really kind of, it's in your subconscious. You know, you got your consciousness and you got your subconscious. Your subconscious runs you. That's your trauma. That's where you came from. That's the old messages. That's your parents talking. That's your low self-esteem. That's your lack of confidence. That's your strengths. Okay. That's the things that you're good at. That's all of that. Those are your habits, you know? And so, you know, the 21st century says, yeah, that's fine, but you need to move out of your history into your possibilities. So now you need to move into the present. You need to be very conscious of what's available to you. You need to reprogram yourself and stop going back to your old habits. Stop going back to your old fears. You know, you get close to success and then you sabotage yourself. Hmm. You don't think you can actually do it because you've been trained to do that. You can't even see it. It's so deep in your subconscious. You can't even feel it. It's just layers and layers and layers and layers of negativity sometimes and pain, which turns into fear. So you got to reprogram yourself, and you reprogram yourself by reading more, by thinking positive, by focusing on small steps as a way to overcome your fears so you can step into the outer limits.
Yeah, man, you've been great. You've been a great guest. I've learned so much during the hour, but I've also learned so much in terms of the conversation that we've had prior to this. So a great guest on Future Focus, and I know, you know, we'll be talking. We'll be talking real soon.
Well, Winston-Salem they're lucky to have you as a chancellor, and because just spending time with you, you have the right attitude and the right vision for growth and development. And the 21st century says you either grow or you die.
I got you. and you take care, my friend. It's been a blessing having you on Future Focus. Now, I told everybody we're back and better than ever. So we kick off our new show with the great Stedman Graham. Thank you so much for your time. And we will see all of you next week on another edition of Future Focus Now.